I'm here to join you to make a little news. My name is Pete Buttigieg. They call me Mayor Pete. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for President of the United States.
Welcome, everybody, to the Good Guy Pete podcast, the South Bend perspective. I am so excited to be here today. I'm joined with two friends.
Hey, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Letty.
And this has been a little bit in the making. I, you know, sat down with Ryan, and Ryan introduced me to Letty, and I was like, hey, we should do something living in South Bend to give other people out in the world a perspective on what's actually happening here. Yep. And what it looks like to be in close proximity to Mayor Pete. And so we got together downtown South Bend over an incredible lunch.
Yes.
And this thing happened. So I think a good way maybe to start this entire thing is to give people some background on who we are and what we do, and maybe a little bit about why we decided to jump into this project. So I know, Ryan, if you want to start, and we'll make our way around the room.
Yeah. So the fact that I'm rooted in South Bend and love South Bend to the extent that I do would have come as a surprise to me. From the Fort Wayne area originally, and came to South Bend area for school, for college. Went through that college time and just still didn't have, you know, in colleges around here, it's a college town, both with Notre Dame and a bunch of other small schools. But traditionally, there's been a kind of a struggle for students at those schools to feel connected to the city, right? So that wasn't even a part of the core at that time. Didn't know much about South Bend, didn't get into the heart of the city much at all throughout that time. And then graduated and honestly was just looking for a cheap place to live until I could go off to grad school, and ended up in a neighborhood on the northwest side of South Bend, the Kellett Park neighborhood, which is this amazingly beautiful, diverse, under-resourced community on the northwest side, and ended up falling in love with that neighborhood. And that neighborhood kind of completely changed my life and trajectory. And so now live still on the northwest side, just a different neighborhood, just a little farther down. I've been there for 15 years on the northwest side of South Bend, and I'm a neighborhood advocate on a number of different levels. So yeah, now I can't imagine being anywhere else.
Except during the winter, maybe.
Okay, so I can imagine it.
I think we cannot relate to
that. But imagining is about as far as that goes.
Yeah, so again, my name's Letty, and so I'm not native to South Bend, but I've definitely from Indiana. I grew up on the outside of Gary, Indiana, and came to South Bend as a college student, and in one of those kind of closed off colleges that you were kind of alluding to, in a St. Mary's. And for 4 years that I was there, really didn't know South Bend. And I think that's the experience for many people, or at least it was. And I think that is changing as the colleges get more involved with the community and vice versa. But you know, I decided to stick around here after I graduated because I wasn't really prepared to go back home and really hadn't thought about what I wanted to do in the long term. And again, reasonable place to live as far as price goes. Plenty of opportunities. I was able to find, you know, positions right out of college. And I've been here ever since. So that, you know, I came here in 2000, graduated in 2004. And since that, I've been I think pretty involved in the community just through the work that I do. I've worked for the schools. I work for nonprofits. I'm heavily invested on the west side with Westside South Bend, and worked there for about 9.5 years. And the thing I love about South Bend is it's just a community that's so easy to be involved in on any level, whether that's through the work that you do, through your neighborhood. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for that. And, you know, raising a child, it's a good place to have a kid, I think. And you know, I think I'm also here on a greater level as far as this podcast goes with Good Guy Pete. That kind of just sort of developed. I started making Good Guy Pete memes when he first announced his exploratory, And someone said, hey, why don't you make that its own page? And I said, okay. And then they said, why don't you make that a Twitter? And I'm like, sure, why not? And it's sort of developed. And I'm happy that you guys reached out to me to be able to kind of give this voice really to connect South Bend and Mayor Pete now that he's sort of on that national stage, because it still, I think, comes back to his role here and what he's done for our community and how that will play out, I think, on the national level.
Yeah. And I think people are starting to see and connect the dots. And I think that's kind of what my hope is for this whole thing, is to let people see who Pete really is. And it's, I even read an article yesterday, and I'll get to introducing myself in a second, but there's still this question, is Mayor Pete really what we see on TV? Like, when's the other shoe going to fall? And I think, like, that's a large part of this podcast, is that there is no other shoe to fall. Like, he's not a perfect person, but it's just, it is genuine. What you see really is what you get, if not more. And a little bit about my story. I moved up here in 2005 after I graduated. I'm from a small town of Bern, Indiana, close to Fort Wayne. I went to undergrad here, and I actually moved away. So I moved away for about 4.5 years and then took a job up here and decided to move back. And I was at that place of employment for about 4.5 years, and I started my own business. And after that, I really honestly had a choice of moving anywhere in the world. My business is mobile, and my wife and I decided we love what's going on here. We love the energy here. We love the startups here, from faith communities, neighborhood communities, to businesses, to development even. We love the energy, and we love the, this is going to sound weird, we love almost the hope the city has right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we decided, instead of moving away, even though the winters are absolutely the worst in America, I'm convinced of that, we're going to choose to stay here. And it's an active choice. Like, this is what we call home intentionally. And this is, it's a beautiful place to be because of all those things.
Yeah, kind of the word around town people say is that South Bend is beautiful and that it's big enough to matter, but small enough to where you can really make a difference still, right? Yeah. As an individual citizen, both due to the size of the city and due to, I think, Pete's administration has fostered a lot of this and encouraged it, is that you can just be a normal citizen and you can get stuff started and you can make a difference. Where I think in bigger communities, you know, Chicago's nearby, right? Like, an average person like the three of us probably doesn't have much opportunities to make a difference without going deep into politics or climbing up high up a ladder into an organization, right?
You know, I answered this question, I think, recently on Twitter when someone said, what's your favorite thing about South Bend? And that was most of my answer, right? And I'm starting to think you stole that. But
I said word on the street.
Right. And, you know, and we're all here because obviously we care about our city and sort of Pete's impact on that. And we think he's a good guy overall. And but I think, you know, there's no one person that's going to save, right? Everybody. Ryan, you might have a different opinion on that. But I think part of why Pete works is because it's about the community effort, and he understands that. It's not about, he's not going in there thinking, like, I'm going to be the sole person that changes things. It's a community effort, and it's about connecting and uniting and doing all of that. And people feeling and knowing that they can actually do something and be a part of that change. And it's not like we're just solely relying on this one person to do it. And the fact that he's been super supportive and open and been able to, I think, facilitate a lot of that in our community has just shows why he's the right person.
And I think you see that then, him taking that to the larger scale, like on a national level, him appearing on Fox News was it really was him saying, hey, I realize that in order for us to change the trajectory of America and politics in general, we have to work together as a large neighborhood, as a community of people that disagree with each other, but what does it look like to work together? And that, like, I see that in South Bend, and that's one of the big reasons that I get so excited to see him bring that right to the world.
Yeah, I think maybe this is a good time to talk a little more then too about, like, what we're hopefully bringing to the table on this, Michael, with the when we say South Bend perspective, right? I'll just speak for myself and say, like, So in these conversations, my goal as I was dreaming about this was, I'm not even going to care or not care. I'm not going to evaluate like every political position that he has on everything or say that he's taking the right position relative to other candidates or anything. Like, I don't even know how I would feel about this whole situation if I lived anywhere else but South Bend. What I do know is living in South Bend, he's a neighbor. He is around town. He is somebody that you see, somebody that you interact with. And so I think it's fascinating to just talk about how that intersects with South Bend and what we've seen from his character on a personal level, right?
I am on the Twitter world a lot, which is an awful and wonderful place all at the same time.
Right.
And I see people misunderstand South Bend and South Bend people a lot and kind of what this town represents. And so if nothing else, I'm not claiming to be the voice of South Bend, but I want to give people a voice from South Bend. And we want to have guests on from different backgrounds and different occupations from South Bend to let people hear from the people that have been directly impacted from Pete what it's like to be here. And that's not to say everyone we have on is going to love Pete. That's not to say everyone's going to agree with everything he does. But in order to really understand outside of sound bites and tweets and little articles about what's been good and bad about South Bend, I think there's more underneath that like inch layer of soil. There's some deep roots here that I think we can get into.
And I think that's a conversation I think we had when we were talking about doing this podcast is, and Ryan, you said it too, like you don't know if you would be as invested if it weren't for the fact that you live in South Bend and now our mayor, right, is running for president. Is it in that little slice of that Twitter world, right, which is not a direct representation of what's really going on in the world because, you know, that can operate in silos as well. But is that it feels personal.
Yeah,
you know right. what I mean? So if it's an attack on South Bend, it feels personal because we are South Bend. Mm-hmm. If it's on Mayor Pete, it feels personal because we know him.
Right.
You know, we're not necessarily hanging out with him and having brunch, but we know him because we've seen him. We've talked to him.
Right.
We've been in meetings and those types of things where we've seen him in action and we've been able to share our support or share, you know, our views on how we think he could better work with our city. And so when we're in that Twitter world, for better or for worse, or even just looking at the media and what they say about either Pete or South Bend, it feels personal. And so I don't know. I don't know if I've ever been super political in anything else. You know, obviously right. I do my civil duty and I vote right. and I try to research and do all that. But whether I would be doing this, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I've big echo to that. This is my first time even being remotely political on any scale. And I do realize going outside of Indiana and South Bend that still the majority of people have not heard of Pete Buttigieg, you know? But that's changing, which is awesome. But I was just in Nashville yesterday and we got talking about policies and different things like that. I was like, oh, did you see our mayor is running for president? They had no idea who I was talking about. And I was like, okay. So while this is a huge deal to me,
yeah.
It still hasn't reached the impact across America that I think it will at some point.
Yeah, there was, not to dive too deep into this, but in the Quinnipiac poll that came out, the issue was, it was extremely high percent, maybe like 40%, something like that, that said that they still didn't have enough information to even have an opinion there, right? So it's just fascinating processing the difference between how this feels in South Bend versus what reality might be all over the place.
And I guess that's a good question. How do you guys think it feels here in South Bend?
I don't know. I think even in Pete's time as mayor, I think here on the local level, we've still seen him on the national level. I mean, how many times has he been recognized or for the city efforts and things that are going on here? And so for me, I guess it's other people are now experiencing this, mm-hmm. I think. Whereas for me, I'm like, this is Pete. This has always been Pete. And he goes out there and he doesn't sit back and he doesn't, you know, just not do anything. He's constantly out there, whether he's advocating for other people or just advocating for a city, And so for me, it's not weird to see him in the national spotlight. I think it's weird for me to see other people outside of South Bend mm-hmm. kind of experience that,
yeah, that's right.
either positively or as they're trying to figure out how they feel about him.
Yeah. Just speaking of the personal nature that we've brought up already, you know, we talk about kind of we the people of South Bend are Mayor Pete's record, right? That when somebody's running for office, typically you're getting Congress people, senators, and the way that they voted or the bills they brought to the table are the things that are endlessly picked apart, right? So when we're sitting here in the city and everybody's evaluating everything from the 1,000 houses project to the police tapes, all these other things, these are things it's like, wait, this is like things we were intimately involved in, right? Like the 1,000 houses project, it's hard to personally see that criticized when, you know, at the time I was on the board of my neighborhood association and, you know, Black, white, Latino, we were all unified together that our neighborhood desperately needed this, right? And so almost like when there's the criticism coming there, like it's a criticism that's also felt personally in some of these things because, you know, we as people who care about our neighborhoods and communities, it's our neighborhoods, it's our advocacy that's all going into this. And so it feels a little weird, you know, like on some level, we can't just distance ourselves and be like, oh, you know, our mayor is doing this thing because like we are wrapped up in this as well.
And a lot of these things are, you know, Pete's been mayor for, this is his eighth year, right? I mean, some of these things have been ongoing for years. And so they're not new to us, right? Whether it's as a controversy or as whatever it is, because we were actively a part of it. We were living it here in our community. And I know that that's right. That's what happens in politics is that you go and you try to get all the information and dig up the dirt, the good, the bad, the ugly. And so, again, it comes back feeling personal. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those where like, hey, you know, I mean, and some of these things have still been ongoing conversations and they're still going on, like the police tapes. But these are a lot of conversations that have already been had here, a lot of meetings. And so to see it, I guess, replayed out and rehashed out for better or worse is sort of, okay, guys, here we go.
Like, yeah, there is that historical element to this too, right? That some of this is almost like reliving like ancient memories on some level, right? Because there's both of those things we just talked about were really in the first, you know, 2 years of 8 years, right? So for us here on the ground, when you ask opinions, it's more shaped by recent events that come to mind, though not for everybody. There's definitely, you know, neighbors for whom some of those early events like would be the first thing that come to mind, and I need to recognize that. But it is just interesting the historical nature of some of these conversations, bringing up stuff that hasn't been brought up for a while locally.
Yeah, the police tape thing, I didn't even know about that until it got brought back up on a national level because I didn't move back into the area till after that was already a thing. And so it's just interesting, like we haven't been dealing with that for so long. I agree that a lot of this stuff is hard not to take personal when I hear and read things like basically South Bend sucks. I'm like, no, like it doesn't, you know, and it doesn't because of, you know, people like you and the people that I know and the development that's happening and the things that are actually going on, like the first uptick in population we've had and how many amounts of years just happened. The first building development for business just broke ground a couple months ago. The multi-million dollar luxury apartments that are going up on the riverfront, like there's so much going on. And so when I hear like just broad brushstrokes of, you know, he's the mayor of South Bend and South Bend kind of sucks.
Right.
Like it doesn't, not only does it not ring true, it also pains me a little bit and I want to fight, you know?
Well, and it's interesting with this whole, Twitter thing, because now, and I put on there that it's my South Bend perspective, right, as an individual. I understand that people have different experiences, but kind of what's been happening now is people like tag me, right? Like, well, you got to listen to this person.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like I want to fight for my city, but if I spent all day doing that, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't do that. So I guess one of the reasons behind what I'm doing is not so much to argue every single mm-hmm. point, but to say, okay, that's somebody's opinion and their perspective. Sometimes that's not a South Bend perspective, right? It's somebody who saw an article or saw a video or somebody told them, but they've never actually been here. They've never actually experienced South Bend to put that out there. And so I see myself saying, well, you know what? This is my experience, and I want people to take that into account as well. My job is not out here to argue every little point, because I guess I'm going to use Pete's words here. Like, some people do that in bad faith. They're not looking for, they're not trying to be open. If someone wants to be open and they really want more information, I think that's different than just saying South Bend is crap, which is the one I was tagged in earlier today. Mm. I don't think any of us are, you know, think that South Bend is perfect, or any a community like any other, but I definitely would never say that about my city.
And I want South Bend, at the very least, right? I want South Bend to tell South Bend's story, right? I don't want a New York City reporter or DC reporter to tell South Bend's story, or to say that these are the issues that matter about South Bend, right? Because I want South Bend to be able to say, like, hey, we're really excited that there's been millions of dollars of investments into parks all over our city, right? Like, we're excited. That's what we're excited about right now. Yep. Like, I'm excited that the park in my neighborhood is getting a generational uplift that hasn't happened in a long time. Right?
And it's not just your park. Like, it's happening right across the street from the General too.
Right. It's happening all over the city, right? And it's happening downtown in kind of areas that are seeing a lot of development, but it's happening in the small, tiny mm-hmm. neighborhood parks as well, right? So there's all these exciting things that are happening. I want South Bend to tell a story about West Side South Bend, the organization that you work with, Letty, and just the vibrancy of our West Side Wednesdays and all the development that's going on there, but the relationships, the community, like just the goodness that comes out of that stuff, right? And so those are the stories that aren't being told in the midst of all this. I want the stories of the resilience of the community to deal with the poverty and violence that we face, talking about the group violence intervention programs that are running, talking about the organizations that are stepping up. My Brother's Keeper comes to mind, like these organizations that are stepping up to work with youth and mentor youth, organization on Northwest Side Transformation Ministries, right? There's these groups that are stepping in to do really good work to move forward. And unfortunately, those aren't the stories of South Bend that are getting out there. So we're spending our time responding to these stories that aren't even the stories that South, the majority of people that I talk to in South Bend are thinking about on a daily basis at this point.
So at this point, we're going to transition a little bit to where Pete has been in the media this week and kind of do some overviews of his interviews and the Fox News town hall, and he was just on Jimmy Fallon. It's been, to be sure, it's been a busy year for him, but these last couple weeks, I just feel like he continues to go, and that's been a strategy of his from the get-go, and credit to Liz for doing that. He just continues to say yes where people say no, and I think that, I mean, that's going back way from the very start of how he got that uptick in Google search of everything. He just continued to say, yeah, we'll do that interview. Yeah, we'll do that podcast. It's not like people wondered, how is the media doing this for him? No, it was literally just him saying yes to being on things. With that being said, what are some interviews that have stuck out to you guys this week that you'd like to touch on?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to go with the Fox Hall one, and mostly because, really, one, look, Pete's done a lot of interviews and continues to do a lot of interviews, so I'm going to be honest, I have not seen them all because I've got a full-time job, guys, and a family, so I, you know, try to catch up as much as I can. But, you know, there's been this conversation about, you know, the media is helping him out, but you know, saying yes. And we can see that in the Fox News town hall, because he got a lot of criticism for saying yes. And I don't know if that, you know, and I can see why, because even when I saw that, I thought to myself, like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Because had it been anybody else, I think I would have had a, you know, I think I would have been more confident with how I felt about that. But I'm like, oh, it's Pete though. Like, I trust Pete, because I have, but I don't know. I don't see how you can watch that and not think that that was a win for Pete. And for many of those people who are on the fence about, you know, maybe for the first time supporting a Democratic candidate, but to and to see him going on there and not necessarily, you know, and he still criticized personalities that Fox News has. And so I think he stayed true to who he was. And he, I thought he did a good job of explaining why he was there, what his message was, and what he was expecting from that.
Now, the other thing we've got to do is we've got to find people where they are. You know, a lot of folks in my party were critical of me for even doing this with Fox News.
I've heard that.
and I get where that's coming from, especially when you see what goes on with some of the opinion hosts on this network. I mean, when you got Tucker Carlson saying that immigrants make America dirty, when you've got Laura Ingraham comparing detention centers with children in cages to summer camps, then there is a reason why anybody has to swallow hard and think twice before participating in this media ecosystem. But I also believe that even though some of those hosts are not always there in good faith, I think a lot of people tune into this network who do it in good faith. And there are a lot of Americans who my party can't blame if they are ignoring our message, because they will never hear it if we don't go on and talk about it. And so it's why, whether it's going into the viewership of Fox News or whether geographically it's going into places where Democrats haven't been seen much, I think we got to find people where they are, not change our values, but update our vocabulary so that we're truly connecting with Americans from coast to coast.
All right, Mayor, we got to take a break here.
I think what people on the coast might have a hard time understanding and seeing is, we'll take my family, for example, my in-laws and my immediate family. The only exposure they're going to have to Pete is when he's on Fox News. Because the reality is, majority of TVs around here are tuned into Fox News. And I think there's a disconnect in understanding that with people that are on the coast, that they don't understand, why would you ever go on this? Well, the reality is, if you want to get your message out there, the people that are tuned in there, you have to go there. You have to go to those people, and it's never going to happen. I can promise you, my dad is never going to see him unless he's on Fox News.
I think the point that Pete made there was that there are people tuning in good faith.
Yeah.
And I think, so as I don't want people to speak for South Bend, I don't want to overly speak for people in the coast. But what I would want people to say is, if you don't know people like that, because the perception I've seen a lot is, no, like all of these, the extreme Fox News types or the extreme fans of the current administration, that they're all bad faith actors that are filled and fueled by racism and all these other things. And while I'm not denying implicit racism that exists in each of us, and that might affect this. These are my family members. These are my friends. These are people in Indiana. And some of them are the extreme types that maybe you would label in that way. But there's also like a lot of well-meaning people that is just their primary news source, right? And they're trying to figure things out.
And you know, and Pete's mentioned this in multiple interviews about how, you know, there are people who voted for Obama and voted for Pence and voted for him and voted Pete and voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think sometimes it's easy when we look at, I don't know, the opposition to put them in that corner. Mm-hmm. And I think what Pete's trying to do is saying, no, I'm not going to put you there. Mm-hmm. Here's my message if you want to hear it. And let them make that decision to figure out if they want to hear more, if they like what they heard, if they want to look into it. But at the very minimum, he's gone out there and he's spread his message, because as he said, if he gets the nomination, if he becomes the president, his responsibility is to the entire country, not just to the people who voted for him.
the way that he has the ability to include people of good faith that tune in the Fox News and say, hey, I get this. You're part of this. You're with us. But then at the same time, be direct with people that maybe aren't doing things in good faith. When he directly talks to Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson, that's something that I think public discourse in general hasn't seen in a long time. And he does it in a way that's not mean, that's not nasty, that's just matter of fact, hey, we can be better here, and we deserve better here.
I think there's a difference between what I would call being peacemaking or even coming, I come from a church background, like pastoral, right, in this like helping people move forward, and being pandering, right, which is saying like, I want your vote, I want you on my side, so I'm going to do or say what I need to do, right? And I think the accusation is made that when he's doing things like this, sometimes the accusation is made that he's pandering. He's going to go and do and say the things that people want to hear. He's going to just kind of go where the wind blows. But I think what we know from him is a couple things. We know he does have values, agree or disagree with his values. He's grounded in those. And he's going to speak to those.
When you said that word pandering, like it's one of my, I guess my social media frustrations when I see that. And if a lot of stuff I put like on my Twitter is South Bend related, obviously I'll share some current things going on, but I try to find pictures or articles or things that he's been doing since 2012. These aren't new things. It's not something that he just started doing when he decided he was going to run for president. And, you know, in South Bend, if you say something in 2012 and then don't follow through, someone's going to let you know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, he's been doing this because that's who he is. It's not something that he just started doing. He said it before. He's like, I'm going to call it out if I need to call it out, but I'm not going to stop being who I am.
I want to piggyback on this to jump into our last topic of the day is this values first thing. That had served him so well out the gate, but now has recently, I think, started to get some criticism and kickback. And I think he's at a turning point where he's going to start talking about new policies, and he just launched his policy page. But I think it's important for listeners and us to understand why values first matters and why he went that direction. Because I think that gets lost a lot with people. And
yeah, and let me first say that in conversation with people in South Bend, it's humorous kind of that the narrative for a while was that Pete's all smooth talk and fluff and like no depth. Because from being in the city here, what you know is he's really nerdy. I mean, he's extremely nerdy and extremely like into the detail of policy and
the
those
nuance.
Types of things. But yeah, like, and so like for him to even not be is just a very intentional step on his part to not be, right? He has to work hard to not be like just dug into the policy and the minutia of things, right? And so, but he is doing that. And I think the importance of that, again, just resonates in what we were saying earlier, these conversations we have with people and family members around Indiana, right? That this is a Midwestern thing, right? That the policies that drive us are very important and influential. And if you can understand that get people to understand that you're acting in good faith, then that changes the perception that people have and their willingness to listen by the time you get to policy. They need to trust because honestly, they've been told that people who feel different from them do so out of bad intention, right? Or because they're bad people or they don't have, you know, they're amoral, you know, or all these different reasons, right? And so I think it is very important for probably a significant portion of the country to say like, hey, no, there are these moral values that I'm driving from, and this is what comes of that. And I think the debate can be had as to whether those are moral values or not, or whether those policies actually accomplish that in a way that's healthy or not. But I think it's an important conversation to start with to say that the values are important.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I kind of got tired too of like the policies, and I'm thinking, calm down, I mean, and like
and
you said,
and not because policies aren't important,
right?
Because we know they're coming,
right? Yeah. But you know, and you mentioned before about like not everybody knows him. Yeah. And so it doesn't matter if he would have put those out on day one or how great or excellent they were. One, they're going to be picked apart regardless, mm-hmm. whether he put them out on day one or whether he puts them out the day after the debates, or they're going to come out. He is not going to win an election without having a plan. He's not. And he knows that. I think all the candidates know that. We've got a pretty big field, obviously, and a lot of great people, honestly. So I think it was a wise move on his part. You've got somebody who is going from mayor to presidential candidate. He's gay. You know, that's not a secret. And so I think for a lot of people, those things immediately turn you off for whatever reason. And if he's not out there letting people know who he is and what he stands for, I don't think his policies aren't going to matter to those individuals if they don't at least are interested in what he has to say. I think it was definitely strategic and a wise choice on his part. I don't know if I would have said that a month ago because I was kind of like, come on, Pete, like, yeah. come on, like, yeah. I can't be in these chat rooms anymore. but they're going to come out. The more he progresses, I mean, the debates are coming up. He's going to be asked very direct questions. He's already being asked, you know, people are like, they're asking him hard questions, and that's fine. He should be asked hard questions. Every yeah. candidate should be asked difficult questions. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it phases him because, I mean, this is a guy who can't go to the grocery store in town without somebody telling them how they feel about right. the pothole right. or, you know, the roundabout or, you know, whatever it is.
Smart Street.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a whole other episode,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But, you know, so he's used to seeing his constituent yeah. on a day-to-day basis, for better or for worse. And so, you know, on a national level, I think... you know, this was a smart move on his part, I think, to let people see who he is and then roll out based on what those values are.
I think what I find interesting in this is, and I've talked, I think, both of you maybe about this, is there's actual science behind appealing to emotion. So there was a guy named Antonio, I'm going to butcher this, D'Amiso, made a discovery with neuroscience that people that had a damaged part in their brain where emotions were generated, they were literally unable to make simple logical decisions. And what they've concluded is most people make their decision-making not on logic, but on emotion. Mm. And so what Pete is doing is appealing, not trying to manipulate emotion, but he realizes kind of what we've all said here, that policies are great and wonderful, but if you, it's the age old saying, like, it doesn't matter how much you know until people know you care.
Yeah. And trust.
Trust.
Right, right?
Yeah. And so, while policies, yeah, you have to have them, absolutely, and he has those and he's rolling those out. But if you can't connect with someone on an emotional level, it doesn't matter what you have to say. Well, that is it for the first episode, and I'm excited because we're going to be coming back to you guys with interesting topics, and we're going to cover more news stories and interviews, and we're going to do deeper dives into South Bend, and also deeper dives into what's going on with his run. There's no end in sight necessarily for this podcast. If we talked about that too. If he doesn't make the nomination, does it stop there? Probably, maybe not. We'll see. If you guys want to email us or get a hold of us with questions or comments, we'd love to answer those on our show. You can email us at contact@goodguypete.us. Or follow Letty on Twitter @goodguypete2020. And we want this to be an interactive thing. So please send us questions, send us emails, comments, concerns, ideas of guests you'd love to have on and interview. So thank you. See you guys next time.
See you later.
See you.